Thanks for tuning in to the New Life Apostolic Church YouTube channel and website at nla.church. Once again, that's nla.church. We're excited to hear God's word at our Sunday worship service and pray you're blessed by what you hear. And be sure to come back and join us for an in-person experience with great worship, singing, and of course, a message from God's word. Let's go there now and hear today's message.
Greater, greater than the mountain before you. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. We're happy to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping and praising his name. Amen. Because he is our all in all. Amen. And we just want to give him praise and honor. And pray that everybody is getting ready for winter. Amen. It's getting cold, and yet it's 95 outside. But we are happy to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but time flies. It's just quick. It's just summer's gone. They planted a watermelon patch next to our house. I've always wanted that. Watermelon. And that grew. And then it grew, and they're harvesting, and now they're done. And it's like, if you don't, take advantage, time just flies. And that's how life is. It's just, you got this little opportunity, and let's take advantage of it. We have an hour and a half of service on Sunday. It's just a little portion of your whole week. Take advantage of it. Just let all your burdens down. Amen. Just open up to God. Open up to the Lord. And we're going to talk about a few things today. And the hope is that you would say, maybe that's for me. Maybe that's me. Don't nudge your spouse or your friend and say, yeah, that sounds like you. No, you got to look at you. It's that little portion, that little, just a little word, amen, and that's what it's going to have an effect on your life. So, amen, I'd like to start off with my verse, and there we go. My title today is, We Are Connected for a Purpose. The theme for this month is growing in relationship with one another. We've got to grow in relationship with one another. And this progress is, we have this whole annual theme is divine increase. So we want to increase in our relationship with one another. We want to increase our relationship in our marriage. We want to increase our relationship with our family, with our kids, with our loved ones. And then lastly, we want to grow in relationship with the church. Amen. And this is a real basic concept that's in the scripture, that's in the Bible. And it's we are connected for a purpose with one another. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and go to the next slide. This is my clicker, and I thought it would work better than the other clickers. So, okay, this is what it says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. The Bible is not, the things in the Bible are not so perfect. When you look at the Bible and you think, oh man, the Bible's so perfect and so good. But within the Bible, sometimes things are written because there's conflict, because there are things that are going on in that particular church. And they needed to come, there's understanding. So this one is no different. The Corinthian church is a very interesting church. There's a lot of problems in that church, because that's why it takes First Corinthians and then Second Corinthians to kind of get it all perspective. This is what we're talking about today, is the getting along with one another. And there was a problem in that church that they were contentious. There was not everybody was getting along. And then, you know, if you look at our church, you look at us today, we don't all think the same. No, we don't agree on all things. Amen. It's just like years ago, about 25, 30 years ago, I was the assistant pastor with Brother Aguilar. And I mean, I'm talking before the flood. But, and I would tell the brothers, I said, brother, we don't always see eye to eye. We don't always agree. But I'm not going to stand in the way. That's the worst thing. It's just because somebody doesn't think like me. No, we just have to go ahead and not so much tolerate it, but oversee. Just go, hey, it's all in the Lord. It's all in the presence of the Lord. So the same thing in our lives at home, with our family, with the church. It says, God has miraculously put this body together. He's put us together. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. But yet he's put us together for a purpose. Yes. And that's the beauty of it, is that I didn't choose. God chose for me. He says, I'm going to put you here. And the same thing is with you and I, together, all of us. He says, he placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. Wow. He put you and I in the place that he wanted for the function he called you to be. The personality you have, the experience in the past, it can be used in the body of Christ. And I'm talking about, when I talk about the body of Christ, I'm talking about the church. So we're looking at that. So we're going to pray that God would help us, amen, to describe this a little further. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask you that this day, the power of the Holy Ghost would fall upon each and every one of us, Lord, and the word proceed forth. That you would anoint the lips of clay, God, and that you would, Lord, just show us our purpose and show us how that we can together grow in relationships in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 5:14 says, the whole law is made complete in this one command. Love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. So that whole thing, the basis of it, and this is why I want to start here, the basis of is you can only love to the extent that you love yourself. You can only accept another individual if you're accepting of yourself. And that is, it comes to play in a lot of different ways in our lives. And that's why the Bible stresses that. It says, husbands, love your wives as yourself. Again, a man can only love his wife to the extent that he loves himself. If he feels that there's something negative about him, if he thinks that there's something, a shortcoming in him, he will project that on his spouse. That will prevent him from extending himself more to his wife, because there's something in him that's keeping him from extending and loving and accepting her. And it works vice versa. And you know, if you ever have been around a jealous person, jealousy, it's like a ferocious monster. Spouses that are jealous, my goodness, that's a living hell. Hopefully, if that's something that we're fighting with today, I pray that you bring it to this altar. But I'm telling you, jealousy is something that grips. Hey, we all have jealousy to a certain extent. Normal, you know, feelings. Oh my goodness. You know, I always use the illustration that, you know, the man that he has a little bit of problem with his own security, again, loving himself, he feels insecure. That's part of that, loving yourself. You're insecure. You will have jealousy. Worse is if that relationship started wrong. When somebody did somebody wrong. DJ Thomas used to sing a song, hey, sing me another somebody done somebody wrong song. It's a country western song, I'm sorry. If a relationship started as they were deceiving someone else and they get together, guess what? They're gonna be suspicious of the other individual. Wow. I always use the illustration, as you go to the grocery store, the man goes to the grocery store with his wife, and she's at the checkout counter, and he's watching her, the husband is watching her, and the checker is a green-eyed, tall, handsome man. The husband said, oh, look at this. And he's just doing his business. And the wife said, yes, thank you, yes. And you know, she's being friendly, and they were being friendly. But the husband over here is like gripped. And you know, those that have experienced jealousy, it starts right here in your belly. Yeah. Ulcers come from that. Anger comes from that. The belly. The bleeding. Jesus said, from their belly, rivers of living water will flow. From their belly, because we all experience that inside of us. So when, boy, he sees that, and man, and they check out, they pay, and then he gets in the car, and he starts throwing the bags in the trunk. And she's going, uh-oh, something's up with him. He gets in the car and burns some rubber, and she hasn't a clue. And then he starts saying, you know why I'm mad. You know why I'm mad. No, I don't know. The ladies, I don't know why I'm mad. Oh, yeah, I saw you. And then later on, it might be later in the day, he might be mad the whole day, and then later on, I saw how you were looking at that green-eyed guy. Jealousy. Insecurity. My goodness, the children see that. They develop that. They learn that. That type of atmosphere, that type of thinking reproduces itself. It's a cycle. Amen. An abusive household, abusive marriage. The children will learn that. It's like an alcoholic family. A child that grows up in an alcoholic family learns to cope, learns to deal with the disease. And when she's looking for a spouse, she finds an alcoholic that's easy to handle because she knows what to do. And that's why there's an attraction there. The same thing with an abusive household. That child, that woman, that young lady will look and tolerate an abusive man because she learned it. So we come to the point of loving oneself. You know, the chains, the songs that we sing, the chains will be broken and strongholds will come down. When we get baptized, yes, we feel good, but we still have some strongholds in our lives. We still have some concepts in our life that we have to break away from. They may be subtle, secretive, but yet we need help. We need the Lord to intervene with these concepts and say, Lord, help me love myself. Help me. So when we first start to think about each other in relationships, we have different personalities. This is just an example. Some people are introverted and some people are extroverted. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is what it means. Introverted is that you're pretty much a private person. You have these characteristics that you're kind of private. The extroverted is you're pretty much out in the open. You're an open book. So you have two different kinds of personalities. Guess what? Opposites attract. Opposites attract. And you go, brother, I don't... You know, it's really illustrated in marriage a lot of times. You know, the man that is quiet, reserved, and we're going to get into birth orders, Brother Ernie. I think he and I were interested in birth order book and stuff 30 years ago, and it still stands today. Let's say a man, strong, firstborn, introverted. You know, he's looking for a spouse. He's looking for somebody that's opposite of him. He's quiet, reserved, sits there in the corner. My brother-in-laws are like that. They're all quiet. And then my sisters are all loudmouths. They'll watch me. They'll watch me later and they get on me, but yeah. What happens? This man is quiet, and he sees somebody that's alive, alive at the party, walks around, talks, she sings, oh, she does all this other stuff, and the guy says, fine, and she is an extrovert, she's over there bubbling and all that, and she wants some security and some stabilization. She looks at him and says, man, look at that guy, he's strong, he's stable. He's quiet. So what happens? They attract each other. My goodness, how is it that they fall in love? They're so different. Positives attract. You know, the bad thing about it, the worst thing about it, is the very thing that attracted that person to the other person, after a while, it's a problem. They come to the pastor and they say, brother, my extroverted wife doesn't shut up. And the brother, pastor, I mean, the wife says, pastor, my introverted husband doesn't say anything. He doesn't talk. He doesn't share. He doesn't tell me this. Oh, it becomes a problem. But can we give it both to Jesus? Can we give it to the Lord? Can we start, make me different? Open me up. Oh Lord, just make me a little different. Just tear these walls, make me just remake me over again. Make me introverted, make me extroverted. I don't care how verted you want to be. Just say, Lord, do something with me. Praise the Lord. That's how the world is. That's how we are. Amen. And we handled conflict in a whole different way. You know, they ask kids, how did your parents resolve conflict? Well, I come from a Mexican family. There was no conflict. What he said goes. Oh, my goodness. There was no pattern. There was no system, no method of sitting down in the table. I remember a brother telling me how different his family was to different how the sister's family was. He says, there was a large family. He said, we would sit down to the table and we would eat. We would say, please pass the tortillas. Please pass the rice. Come. And then he says, I went to my wife's family. Y era puro grito. He says, I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. It was so different. Different ways of coming, different ways of existing. Oh my goodness. So we have that those differences within us. Amen. So think about that. What are we? Who are we having that the issue with? Especially if you're working, if you're a supervisor at work, or you have a lot of different personality things. These are things that God can help you with to understand them. Yeah. It's easy just to say, oh, no, you know, traffic, road rage. Oh, my goodness. How do you explain road rage? You know, people have gotten shot over road rage, but, you know, my wife says, oh, look at that guy. Oh, mija, he's having a bad day. Or he's, you know, something tragic happened or something. And we gotta forget it. Especially when they flip you off with that finger. That kind of brr again, and you feel it in your belly, right? You just got to say, praise God. Thank you. I'm going to pray for that fella that God would bless him. Amen. You know, Brother Aguilar said this not too long ago. He said that there was this preacher was going to church, and there was some sort of congestion in the traffic, and then that somebody beat the horn and showed him that finger. Oh, the preacher. So that he followed that car, and that car ended up coming into church. It was one of the brothers. He goes, I was real surprised that brother would do that out in public and say, oh my, we're not all perfect, praise God, we're not. Oh no, amen. So let's look at that, look at the idea that we have. And the scripture says, when we want to join together, we want to bind together, we really can't be flying solo. We're just dependent on each other. And that's one thing, if you were out in the world or you came from a different life and you were just by yourself and you say, man, I don't need anybody. I know what I'm doing. I know that's not what the scripture says. Ecclesiastes says, you are better having a friend than to be alone. Because when you will get more enjoyment out of what you earn, you share it. It says, if you fall, your friend can pick you up. Oh, that's so beautiful. Somebody can help us. They call us on the phone. They'll text us. This is what we need. It's if you fall. But if you fall without having a friend, you're really in trouble. If you sleep alone, you won't have anybody to keep you warm in a cold night. Isn't that so? Oh. But when you got somebody to keep you warm, someone might be able to beat up one of you, but not both of you. As the saying goes, a rope made from three strands of cord is hard to break. So we're looking at the way we communicate, the way we are. So we have to communicate with one another. We're not the Lone Ranger. So we have three different little ways, three different things that are in us, each and every one of us. We have a parent, we have an adult, and we have a child. Okay? These come out in different forms. You ever hear a little girl, little boy, telling his baby brother, baby sister, "Don't do that, you better not do that." That's the parent in that little kid. He may be little, but yet there's that little parent that's telling that. A parent, he lectures, he's judging, he's criticizing, gives advice and talks down and takes care of someone. Always taking care of somebody. That's the parent in you. You want to take care of that individual. All right, then you have the adult. He's objective, rational. He asks for information, treats people as equals. That's a parent. Child, he's submissive, compliant, talks up, playful, impulsive, emotional, and he throws a tantrum. So when you try to communicate with a person, especially in marriage, sometimes we resort to being the child. I do that sometimes. I throw the silent treatment. I'm confessing. You throw the silent treatment. Hey, don't you want to say nothing? You just, oh, that's childish. Because you need to open up. You need to talk. Or you can become the parent. Looking down, judging. And in these terms, we have to understand where we are standing with that to be able to get along. Here's the conflict. Parent, adult, child, how are you communicating? How is it that you most comfortable with? What pattern do you take? Are you going to do this or do that? Can you imagine? Two parents, nobody's wrong, right? Two parents communicate. No, nobody's wrong. Two adults, hey, that's better. That's what we should do. It's like an adult's mature. Two children, never will happen. Never will occur anything positive from there. Amen. Family dynamics. Birth order. This is what happens. That's who you're dealing with. Someone that, the more you know the person, the more you know that's why they act the way they act. Because that's where they've been programmed. That's where it happens. The firstborn is a leader, curious, conscious, reliable, serious, driven, perfectionist. Whew. That's a firstborn. My goodness, you look at all the history. You look at all the people that were generals and presidents, and they were probably firstborn because they were driven. And they have that quality to go forward. If you were middleborn, you're popular, you're rebellious, you're independent, adaptable, peacemaker, overlooked. You seek attention. Oh, you don't need to be just right. You're more open. That's your birth order. The last born, the brat. And some of you can relate to that. Ah, my dad and mom, the youngest one, they hardly do anything. Ah, you hear the oldest always talking about the younger one. We used to do chores and we used to do that. And now my little brother, he gets paid for sweeping the floor. We never got, oh my goodness. Oh, that happens. Easygoing, front loving, manipulative. He's a clown. She's a clown. Oh Lord, he goes with the flow. Creative, charming. He's in a dysfunctional family, in an alcoholic family. They call it the clown. Hey, just entertains, the mascot. Oh, mom and dad are laughing. Oh, look at him, mijito. Yeah, but oh, he's a brat. He's a brat. You know, the story of Abraham, remember Abraham? He had those 12 sons. And he had Joseph. Joseph was one of the last of the children And Joseph, he had a coat of many colors. His brothers were jealous. It got to the point where they buried him in a hole. They didn't bury him, but they put him in a hole because they hated him. They hated Joseph. The birth order, it comes to play. They sold him to the traders that went to Egypt and on and on and on, because that comes to play in our family, in our life. Again, we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, just wipe away that I'm firstborn, secondborn. I just want to be cleansed of all that. I want to be accepted of you. I want you to accept me as I am. And that's what the Bible talks about. Come, ye all that are tired and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll break the mold. I will allow things to occur in your life that maybe you never knew. And that's where the Bible's, oh, only child, you're in trouble. Perfectionist, mature, dedicated, loyal, sensitive, conscientious, responsible. Only child is hard to share. They're possessive. My goodness, I know we don't have many of those. But still, it comes to play in communicating. We're talking about communicating in a group, communicating in church, communicating in our family, in our marriage. Amen. So we need to look at those objectives in our lives. Amen. Marriage, in relation to earth, to birth order. Again, if you look at a lot of marriages, you'll find that the oldest married the youngest of that family, the other family. Why? Again, it's talking about, you know, accepting some of the, you know, the things that he didn't have, she didn't have. Compliment one another. And that's what it's about. The youngest is used to be taken care of, and the oldest likes taking care of others. That's a match. Oh. Come on, mijito. Oh, he opens the door. He's really careful. He brings her flower. And she just eats it all up. It's a birth order thing. Two youngest will have a lot of fun together, but may resent each other because neither is taking care of the other. Oh, they're having a lot of fun, but they could care less about taking care of each other. Oh, are we talking about anybody here? No, I don't think so. That's okay. Two oldest admire and respect each other because of the traits they possess. However, later on, this may be a problem, agreeing on things. Two older. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. The church. Our job is to love each other. And I think that a loner in the church is going to find out that it's difficult. You know, a loner, an introverted person, lives inside their head. And sometimes we don't like to contradict ourselves, and we won't contradict ourselves. And what happens in church when we hear a sermon, we hear a teaching, we hear something that's contrary to the way we think. But if it comes from the Word of God, it must be true. If it comes from the Word of God, then it must apply to me. I need to change that. I need to alter that. I need to ask God for more openness in my mind and my thinking. So God can do His job, do His work in me. 1 Corinthians 12, again, here's that problem, church. And this is in the Bible. I'm not making this up. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not part of the body. It is therefore not of the body. So members conflicting. Oh, because of this. Oh, because of that. I feel left out. I don't feel part. And it was real bad in the church in Corinthians, where they were struggling with the concept of the gifts. I have the gift of healing, I have the gift of, and then the people were kind of conflicting, then they were competing one another. And that's why it says, if I speak in tongues of angels and don't have love, I am like a resounding cymbal. If I had faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, you're nothing. Oh, the focus was on the power. The focus was on my ability. The focus was on, look at what I can do. And Paul is saying, you're nothing. We're nothing. And he goes and describes love. Love is tolerable. Love, enjoy. Love, it's just one of those concepts that just let go of self. Let go of the concepts of myself and allow the Lord to just pour his love. And then, amen. Oh, look at this. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not part of the body. Oh, my goodness. This is Paul talking literally about a body and about a church. He says, because I don't have this part of, I don't have this part. They didn't choose me. This. Oh, my goodness, he says. He says, we're part of the body. We're many members. This is pretty literal, you know, if you think about it. 12:21, and the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Please, when you walk up to the brother, walk up to the sister, say, God bless you, I need you. I need you. I need you to support me. I need you to, you know, excuse me, there's people here that have been praying for you, and you don't even know it. That people intercede. Your face comes up while they're praying, and they say, Lord, just pray. I just strengthen that brother, strengthen that Mary, strengthen those kids. You don't even know it. But because the church is one, and God is in us, and he's put each and every one of us in its place to have its own purpose, you're reaping the benefit of the blessings of God. Really, you're blessed. When you come here and worship with us, amen, you get the mist of the Holy Ghost on you. You may say, I don't feel nothing. Well, that's okay, but it's still on you. When you walk out of here, it's on you, the power of God. It resides in you. Amen. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Amen. And you're here. You may not feel nothing. You may be very passive aggressive. No, but still the blessings of the Lord. Much more when somebody says, God bless you. Oh, somebody says, God bless you. How come you shake hands? It's to pass on. It's that touch. It's that human touch. You need to have it. In Manteca, I used to be a car salesman. Ooh. Long time ago, I was really hurting. I was a used cars salesman, country Nissan, right off of 99 as you go in south from Stockton. And they were teaching me how to be a salesman. They go, Aaron, when you see a customer come in, make sure you have physical contact with him. You take him by the hand and you shake him, look him in the eye, and you say, good morning, how are you? That physical touch is supposed to make an impact. We need to touch each other in a correct way. We need to hug each other. Amen. Introverted people, you have a problem with hugs. I know that. Some of the people, we want to hug them, and they go, okay, brother, God bless you, thank you. The extroverted, oh, brother, how are you? God bless you. They want to hug you. Oh, they want to rub your head. Oh, we need that communication. We need that touch, brother. We need that, and that, you know what? That transfers love. That transfers Jesus into somebody's life. You can change someone's life just by smiling at them. God bless you. Hey, brother, how are you? Oh, that changes the mood. How many have mood swings? Don't raise your hand. Oh, that's a whole different mood swings. Moody people. That's okay. It sometimes it's part of our physical makeup, you know, different things. And we're moody. But a smile can change the mood. You know what else changes moods if you're moody and you're just having a bad day? Praise. Yeah. Praise. 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 Praise the Lord. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and the Satan's manifest. Oh, I don't know, remember the song, but it says, praise the Lord. Oh, the chains that seem to bind me have fallen to, why? Change my mood, Jesus. I don't want to be cranky. I don't want to be moody. Yes, I know I'm hungry and I haven't had my cup of coffee, but change my mood. Oh, think about this when you get moody. Pretend you're eating an ice cream cone. And you know, when you're eating an ice cream cone, nobody can be sad. You just, that's the way you should feel. You change your mood by praising God and thinking and transforming those kinds of thinking. Can we give the Lord a big round of applause for grace? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. And this is the key that we have found in the church. This is the key that we have found in the Bible. That God can change our mind. The renewing. Amen. Because the world, the psychologists, the correctional institutions, they want to be able to rehabilitate a person. They want to change a person's mind, their thought patterns. But amen, the Bible tells us that we can renew through the Bible, through the power of the Word, the renewing of the mind. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on that new man. You're going to put on that new person. Amen. That's the whole object of this, is that we've got to change who we are to something that Jesus and the Lord wants us to be. We're going to change that. Yes, you might have been married 30 years, 40 years, 25 years. And amen. And your spouse, some of you got married thinking, I'm going to change my wife. Young couples, don't think like that. You're never going to change them. Sisters, you'll never change that old man. Amen. But renewing of their mind comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for. I need to change the patterns that we've had. We've got to change that. And that ye put on a new man. You become a new person. You become a different person. You become a more likable person in the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Therefore, put away, oh my goodness, why would that be in such a spiritual church as Ephesians? The Ephesians are, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says, I have this one thing against you. You have left your first love. This is the very first church. Ephesians was the church that Apostle John started. So I'm thinking, you know, why do they put that down there if they're talking to a church? I could see if it was somebody out in the world, but it says, therefore, put away lying. Why? So You know, we don't lie, right? When I would call in sick to my boss, I wouldn't tell him I was sick when I really wasn't sick. I would tell him, I just don't feel 100%. I'm not coming into work today. That wouldn't be a lie. But sometimes it's easy to lie. Oh, yeah, I'm lying this, lying. In the church, why couldn't you just put away lying? Lying is, you know, people lie just for the sake of lying. How old are you, brother? 55. He's a liar. He's 65. Why does he lie? Why does he say the truth? What's so wrong with that? Where are you from, brother? From Owens. Why do people just automatically lie? Your wife says, how much did you earn today or this week? How much was your check? Well, we don't want to tell her the whole thing. We tell her whatever number we get. That's a lie. Why? Why is that in the church? Ananias and Sapphira, they were part of the new church. And everybody in the new church was selling their property and giving it to the apostles. They were giving it to the disciples. They were selling it. But when it came to Ananias and Sapphira, they kept part of it. And they told the apostles, this is all we sold it for. They lied. And you know what Peter tells them? Why have you let Satan? Oh, I thought I was just lying. But no, there's a spiritual power. He's the father of lies. That's Satan. Why have you allowed Satan into your heart that you would lie? Oh, Jesus. Okay, Brother Aaron, wait a minute. We're just talking about getting rid of all that stuff. But we're the body of Christ. But Paul is saying, stop lying. You know, if you don't come to church, don't lie about it. I didn't come. I didn't feel like it. What's wrong with that? I know this is... Okay, I'm going to the next one. 26 says, be ye angry. Anger, natural. Anger. You're walking around at night, you stub your toe. What comes out? It says, be ye angry. You're angry at each other, you're angry at somebody, you're angry at something. It says, well, think about it. How many of us have trouble with anger? Don't raise your hand, I don't want to know that. But think about it, anger. And then, these lessons, you should be able to take them to your friends, to your family, to your group, whatever, discuss, and ask, you know, you say, man, you know, anger is a pretty rotten thing. Take it and teach it. They say that we forget within 24 hours, 36 hours, we forget half of what we heard. So the best way to remember is to teach it to someone, to tell someone right away, as soon as you can, tell someone what you heard so you don't forget it. So if these kinds of things are happening in someone, it says here, be angry, because anger is pretty normal, but obsessive anger, uncontrolled anger. Have you ever heard of anyone having blackouts? They're so angry, they black out. People in domestic violence, when they get angry, they'll break things, they'll punch holes in the wall, they'll do all of that in their rage. Adolescents do that. I've seen it. I've experienced that with adolescents. Is they get so angry, they do this and they destruct. And then they simmer down and they kind of like wake up. And they said, who did this? Who did all this destruction? They have an abnormal anger problem. They black out. And it's true. They need to be a renewing of their mind and their spirit and their heart. Why has the devil, the Bible says? I believe that sometimes the spirits grab a hold and they blind us. A blackout is nothing more than that. We need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We need to lift up them in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, be angry and sin not. Don't carry the sin beyond, or the anger beyond what it should be. Be angry, that's okay, but try to keep it under control. Don't bust up the car. Don't bust out the windshield. Don't, oh my God, kick the car or the tire. You ever see those people in the freeway and they get a flat tire? They're beating up the poor car. Come on. Be angry, but sin not. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath and your anger. Turn to your spouse and say, I'm sorry. In bed, you know, when you've gotten angry, you know, you had a conflict, you better say you're sorry before you go to sleep. Kids, parents, you kind of overdid it with your son, it's daughter, whatever. You better say, I'm sorry. Why? Don't give place to the devil. Again, he that steals, steal no more. No corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Ah, that corrupt stuff. Change your style. Change your life. Change that. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice, and neither give place to the devil. We're fighting a spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the air. They're trying to devour. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour, who he could tear apart, to tear apart relationships. And, oh, we need to fight against that. And I believe today we can hold the standard up high and that God can conquer. We can be more than conquerors through Christ. Praise team, please come up. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. Grieve when we don't behave right, when we don't communicate right, when there's things happening, we're grieving the Holy Ghost that is in us. Yes, we have the Satan all around. We have the strongholds all around. But yet, when we do something, our spirit is grieved. Our spirit is hurt. The Spirit of God is hurt within us. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, but something occurs. We're gonna hurt and grieve the Holy Ghost. And that's why we need to break through. We need to break through because that grieving will hold us captive, will do a stronghold on our life. And we need to break loose of all that. Oh, and confess. Oh, confess it unto the Lord. Oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've thought this. Oh my goodness, in our thought life, we turn it over and God is going to just renew our mind, renew our spirit within us. Sometimes God doesn't change your situation because he wants to change your heart. He's not going to change that situation. That situation is there for a purpose. So your heart can change. I will turn the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Wow. I will change your attitude. I will change your thinking. I will change your past will not have influence on your now and then. Brother and sister, just accept the Lord in our lives, in our families, in our marriages. and say, Lord, I need change. I need some help. I need to change my attitude. I need to have this other gone. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of the Lord, and he has chosen us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Take that old man off. Huh? Look at that guy. Isn't that something? We just take that off. Amen. Here we are. In Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. Our lives have been patterned by our parents. Our lives have been parent, Lord, have been shaped and made by our experiences. We've been conditioned. Lord, help us to break. Help us, Lord, to just break those chains and become a new person. Start over. Wipe the board clean, Lord. I want to be different. I want to have those qualities. I want to replace those qualities with new qualities, with love. Lord, be able to love and accept other people and their differences. Help me, Lord, to exhibit that. Help me with my anger. Help me with my jealousy. Help me with my inadequacy and my judgmental spirit, Lord. I ask you today because you have put me in this place for a purpose, and I want to fulfill it. In the name of Jesus, I love you, Lord. Amen. Would you please stand with me? And this is the hour. You only have a few minutes. We only have a few little opportunities, and this is one of them, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, man, I'm messed up. I am messed up. I don't know how it is, but I want to be able to accept people, to love people, to reach out. I want to be able to be part of the body and extend myself to others. And I need to love myself. I need to forgive myself before I can reach out and love someone. Help me, Lord, that I can forgive my mom, my dad, that I can forgive the past. I can forgive my family, all those terrible things. I need to forgive to go forward. I need to go and forgive those individuals. God's calling you out. God's telling you, this is what we need to do today in the name of Jesus. Could you come quietly? Just come and stand here and just talk to him. Just talk to God and say, Lord, my life was flashed before me. My life was flashed before me, and I've got some issues in my life. I've got some personality issues. I've got, Lord, some defense mechanisms that are working too overtime. Lord, I just want to be able to be useful. I want to be able to reach out to someone. I want to be able to reach my family. I want to reach my kids. I want to reach my spouse. I want to change, Lord. I want to be different for you, the honor and the glory of the Almighty God. Could you do that today? This is your opportunity. It's a small window. It's a small window. But here we are. Sing it, brother. Sing it. Yes.
Spirit of come and move on us. Come and move on us. Like a rushing mighty wind.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come and breathe again. Come and breathe again.
Breathe, I'm in Jesus. Oh, let me be the man I
come
need
and
to
move
be.
On us. Come be and the Father move I need to be. On us. Like a rushing mighty wind. Yes. Come and breathe again.
Breathe
come and breathe again.